Okay, I wanted to tell Ron that my favorite verse is John 10:10. That's my favorite verse. And I'm going to be preaching out of Romans today. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe you did. You did know that? Okay. Just seemed like it was all planned, okay? So something I'm going to be talking about this morning is suffering. And we're going to explore that a little bit today and look at what it does to our character. And so you can think back to when you first became a Christian and life just seemed great. You're on a spiritual awakening. You're running through the scripture. You're learning all these different things and everything. You know, you're just really getting it. And somewhere along the way, maybe you hit a speed bump, okay? Or maybe you get stuck. Maybe you get stuck and maybe you just can't think through or reason through something that happens in the Bible. And then you start questioning. And for some people, that's suffering, okay? That's suffering. So my wife and I, we just celebrated our 6th anniversary, and so we're kind of out of the honeymoon phase now, okay, right? And so I've been doing a lot of house renovation and insulating here and flashing this and keeping the wind out and things like that. And it was kind of funny. My wife was talking about, you know, when we were in the honeymoon phase, we just kind of, you know, cuddled or you just kind of got close to each other, you know? And now that we're out of the honeymoon phase, now I got to work on the house because it's cold, you know? So I thought that was really funny. So that's what happens. You know, you're kind of going along, and then trouble hits. Suffering happens, okay? So maybe some of you became Christians and then had problems, and you think, wait a minute, this isn't how it was supposed to be. Or this wasn't told to me that it was going to be this way, okay? And I think as a church and a body of believers, we got to be very careful with how we help new believers and how we view hardships and how we view sufferings and what we teach about those, okay? And I think mainly today what I want to focus on is what does the Bible say about all this, okay? What does the Bible say about all this? Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this Sunday, and I just thank you for the rain, and I thank you for this group of believers that came here today. Thank you for all the children who are in church, and just love hearing that in church, and thank you for that. Bless this service and help it to encourage people in their walk with you. Amen. So imagine this scenario. You know, you're a Christian, and you wake up, and you're laying there in bed staring at the ceiling, and you think to yourself, I'm a Christian. Today, I need to be happy, because that's what Christians are. They're happy, right? So you jump out of bed and land on a Lego, okay? Okay? So when you're on the floor and you're kind of crying, you know, you think to yourself, okay, I'm supposed to be happy, okay? The joy of the Lord is my strength. You look up at the clock and you realize the power went out last night and now you're late. Okay. Well, I'm supposed to be happy. Okay. Okay. You're just supposed to be happy. So you're rushing around. You get to your car, and it won't start. Okay. Okay. And you can just keep telling yourself, I'm just supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to be happy. And you grit and you bear it. Okay. Is what you tell yourself. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay. It's interesting there. I've used two different words: happy and joy. Okay. Happiness and joy, all right? Happiness and joy are not the same thing, and they're definitely not the same thing in the Bible, okay? So if you try to use happiness to combat suffering, it will not work, okay? It will not work. I looked up a couple different things about definitions and the differences between both of them. But what does the Bible say? Okay, happiness is almost based on external situations. Okay, so if you get the birthday present you wanted, if you eat all the cake, which is what I want on my birthday, then you'd be happy. Okay, you'd be happy. But joy is much deeper and it's much longer lasting, and it doesn't come externally. It comes from inside. Okay, from the Lord. All right, from inside you. So let's just look at the Bible really quickly. I'm not going to go through all these different references, okay? But in James, it says, consider it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you experience suffering, okay? The joy of the Lord is my strength. You are filled with joy, For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's Jesus, endured the cross because of joy. Okay? So, the secret weapon in the battle of suffering is joy. That's exactly right. Okay? And we can also feel like hardships are unnatural to a Christian, and maybe that's something you don't talk about in church, okay? You can talk about being joyous, but you can't talk about suffering, okay? And so what we do there is we kind of shrink away from people who talk about it, okay? Oh, maybe somebody's got marriage troubles. Well, I'm going to go over here, okay? Or maybe somebody has doubts about the Bible. Well, I'll be praying for you, and then you just kind of walk away, all right? That's not how it's supposed to be, okay? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we're supposed to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice, okay? Once again, if you think that to be happy is how you combat suffering, then I would challenge you to read the Psalms and take out all the ones that have unhappiness in them. Guess how many Psalms you'd have left? Okay, not that many, all right? I'm going to look at one today just briefly, Psalm 55. We can go there. I got it marked. Okay. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me, and the horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge for the storm and wind and tempest. Skipping down to 12. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor it is one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their midst. So, by the way, these are David's friends who are turning against him, and he's cursing them, okay, is basically what he's doing, all right? So there's laments in the Bible, all right? There are people who are just pouring their hearts out to God, saying exactly what they're feeling. Ron mentioned Job today, okay? Job 3. He's asking, why is all this suffering happening to him and things like that. Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which was said, a boy is conceived. May that day be darkness. Let not God above care for it, nor light shine on it. Let darkness and black gloom calm it. Let a cloud settle upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the years. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful shout enter it. Let those who curse it curse the day who have prepared to rouse Leviathan. Let the stars of its twilight be darkened. Let it wait for the light, but have none. Okay, so Job is feeling pretty bad, and he's talking about the darkness and saying, just let the day I was born just be a dark day. Okay, just let it happen. All right? And to be honest, if you really look through your life and think about it, you've probably thought of that thought at some point, okay, or been pretty depressed, okay? The Bible contains some raw and truthful language, and it's language we need to be using, okay? Hey, how are you? Well, not very good, okay? Hey, how are you? Well, it's been a tough week. Oh, really? Tell me more about that, okay? Tell me more. Be honest, be truthful, be real, okay? I'm always preaching about being real in the church, okay? So number two, suffering well takes telling the truth about what you're actually going through, okay? If we don't do that, we convince people that when they come in here, they can only bring the good things that happen to them, not the bad, okay? It's like a church that only does weddings and never does funerals, okay? That's, you take the good with the bad, all right? And I can remember becoming a Christian and thinking everything was going to be, just fine, and it was all just going to be cool, and now that I'm with Jesus, life's just going to work out. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have an attractive spouse, which I do. And I'm going to have a ton of kids. And I'm going to have, you know, 40 acres and a mule. I mean, whatever. I just had this vision in my head of what I was going to have. Okay? Where did I get that? Okay? Where in here, where did I get that? All right? So when we look at the Bible and what it actually says, this is what it says. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Okay? Notice the phrases will, the words will and when. Okay? In this life you will have trouble. Okay? So we have to be telling people to consider the cost of following Jesus, which is what the Bible says, because it will cost them. Okay? There will be suffering. There will be things taken from you. Joy at times, peace at times, not joy, but happiness. Happiness at times, peace at times. Your sanity when you have three toddlers, okay? It's just how it goes, okay? And speaking to those people who are maybe becoming adults or becoming into adulthood, and you're going to have a lot of things change in your life pretty quickly here, okay? God's dream for you may not be a big house and salary. It may not be a BMW, okay? If God wanted you to dig ditches by hand for his kingdom, to spread his kingdom, would you do it? Okay? If God wanted you to dig a well by hand for someone because it would convince them that God was real and the gospel, they would accept Christ after you did that, would you do it? Okay? Digging ditches isn't fun. Digging wells isn't fun. Okay? But if God wanted you to, would you do it? I've had golden opportunities laid in my lap, okay? Just given to me, but I didn't take them because it wasn't what God wanted me to do. I can think of this specific one. This guy wanted me to take animals to people's houses as like a zoo, and people would like throw birthdays for their kids, and you could like pet a kangaroo and handle a spider, and it was really freaky. Anyways, but he wanted me to do that. He wanted to pay me an exorbitant amount of money to do that. Okay, it was his business. And every time I thought or prayed about it, I would get a lump in my throat. I just kept, you know, it wouldn't go away. All right? And my stomach would just turn and churn, and I couldn't figure it out. But there was something not right with that. Pay attention to those kinds of things. Okay? Pay attention to that. And I believe it was from the Lord. And when I looked in Scripture about kind of how this guy was running his business, you know, if you get into Hampton, you got to kind of put a sheet over the animals and take them in the hotel room, you know, and things like that, and sneak them around in hotel rooms and stuff. And I was uncomfortable with that, and I didn't take the job. Okay? It's just not what God had for me. You know, when people ask you what you want to do, imagine if you told them this: well, I'm seeking the Lord about how I can suffer and spread his kingdom. Okay? Yeah. And if you did do that, please take a picture of their face, because it would be hilarious to see their reaction. Okay? But people don't say that. Christians don't say that. Okay? We think about what we're going to do for a career and how we're going to provide and you know, how we can be happy, right? That's what we talk about when we talk about what we want to do when we grow up. Okay? So basically, the culmination, my third point, is if you're not suffering, you're probably not loving. Okay? And that's a hard one. Acts 14:22 is definitely one I wanted to read today. Okay. So it says, starting in 19, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, and supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had many, many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Okay, so just so you guys realize what happened, Paul was stoned. People dragged him out of the city because they thought he was dead and left him. He got up and walked away from it and then went back to the city later to encourage the believers there. Okay, and what he said was, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Okay, what about that sounds easy? Okay, what about that sounds just like, you know, it's just going to be roses and gumdrops and lollipops, and then you get to heaven, okay? That's just not true. That's not what the Bible says. And I think when we are loving people, it's going to inconvenience us, okay? And when people are loving us, we need to let it inconvenience them, okay? My wife and I often, we ask people to, can you just come over and watch our kids for an hour or two so we can go on a date and then come back, you know? That's inconvenient for them, okay? It's totally inconvenient. But people do that because they love us. And in that situation, I feel love. And in the same situations, when we try to go and help and do that for others, we do the same thing, okay? So that's what is required there. Romans 5, 3 through 5, you've already heard it today because she talked about it, which is awesome. But perseverance and enduring these sufferings produces character, hope, and hope will not disappoint. Okay, that's what that Bible verse basically says. All right? Malachi 3, 3 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I'll close with it today. Silversmiths would melt silver in a big crucible, okay? And after they would let it boil for a while, they would skim off the top. It's called dross, D-R-O-S-S, dross. They'd skim it off, okay? Those are the impurities, all right? So they would just dump all the silver they found in there, and they would scrape the impurities off with a tool, okay? Malachi 3:3 says that God is refining us as silver, okay? God is refining us as silver. So at the end, and when they knew that silver was pure, you know how they could tell? They could tell because they could see their reflection in the silver in the crucible. No other impurities, no marks, no nothing. They scraped everything off, and they could see their reflection in that. Okay? That's when the silver was pure. So when we're going through the heat, when we're in the crucible of sufferings and things like that, we need to use it to take away the impurities so that God can see his reflection in us. That's the point of suffering, okay? Let's pray. Father, we just pray for all Christians everywhere who are suffering. We pray for this church, that when we experience suffering, that we would rely on you, that we would let it purify us, Lord, and that we would know that it's producing a good work in us. Help us to rely on you in those situations and to call upon your name. And help us just to love others through suffering and to spread the gospel in that way.